Biz Surrey and Hampshire, brought to you by Eagle Radio.
Welcome to Biz Podcast. Today we have Kim from Ward Williams. Lovely having you back today on Biz Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about something that is definitely going to be a hot topic in the next coming few months, with all the festivities happening in and about work and employment and the office, and even people who are self-employed like to go out and have a little bit of fun. So Kim, what are we talking about today?
So today we are talking about the Christmas party.
The Christmas party. So now first things first, before the Christmas party begins, people tend to think they can leave work early because of having the next morning off work. How does that all work?
There's no fixed rule, really. I think it's dependent on the specific organisation and the service that they're offering, or the requirements of their clients. More frequently, I think businesses arrange Christmas parties for weekend evenings to avoid any knock-on effects with operational requirements. But if you look at it from a practical point of view, if these events are taking place during the working week, a company might want to consider staggered finish times across departments. Not everyone actually attends the Christmas do, so there might be some capacity to cover phones to accommodate an early finish. Historically, if I give my specific team as an example, we've tended to take it in turns, or looked at the locations of where different members of the team live as to what kind of the fairest way is to work an earlier finish. But it's not something to take for granted. It is discretionary, and I think generally, in keeping with the festive spirits, if a company can do something to allow an earlier finish or staggered late start the next day, then it's something to look into.
So the big question, who covers the costs?
Yeah, that is a big question. And again, it varies. A Christmas party isn't a contractual entitlement. So again, it's going to depend on the company, the amount of staff, the financial impact, and perhaps how successful the year's been. Some companies cover the whole cost, some subsidise it and ask for a contribution, and others may ask staff to cover the cost. As long as whatever is decided applies to all employees, then it's fair.
So what about freelancers? I know this is one of those things that a lot of people feel awkward about. What about freelancers? Is it permanent staff only, or can they get an invite?
No, they can. And again, it depends. There's no hard and fast rule. It's dependent on the business. I've worked for companies in the past who use contractors who are self-employed and essentially a one-man band, so I wouldn't get to attend a Christmas do ordinarily, so attended ours and made a contribution to the cost. So it depends.
So when it comes to when you're actually at the Christmas party and it's time to sit down, I think people can get clicky sometimes, or maybe sometimes not. Who sits where?
Actually, I think seating plans are a really good opportunity to mix things up a bit, especially in companies who have multiple sites and offices across different locations, so people don't kind of get to see each other or meet up on a regular basis. With our Ward Williams party, we make sure that there's a really good mix across all the tables, so that each person, of course, knows somebody and is familiar with someone on their table, but also gets the opportunity to mix with people that they wouldn't get to on a day-to-day basis.
That is definitely the dream, getting to know other people around the office. So now, we've heard a lot of people who have met at work and at our office parties and have gotten married later on in life or whatever. So how does it work with office flings?
That's an interesting one. Company relationships is something that actually should be covered in the handbook, so it's worth a company checking theirs out. But I think really it's about general behaviour and the expectation of the company. You don't want to impose strict rules because it defeats the purpose of the party, but it's important to remember at the Christmas party that an individual is still representing the company, and essentially the organisation is vicariously liable for the behaviour of their staff. Attending a Christmas party is done in the course of someone's employment. They're only there because they're part of the organisation. So regardless of whether the event takes place out of hours or on a weekend, it's an organised party. So if in doubt, always assume the employer is liable for the behaviour of their staff. The party venue is essentially an extension of the workplace.
That's very well put. So what about dealing with rowdy behaviour?
It is a shame, but Christmas parties sometimes do give rise to poor behaviours, which can lead to having to deal with misconduct. How to deal with poor behaviour in general, again, should be covered in the handbook under the disciplinary procedure. And I think it's probably worth reminding staff prior to any work event that these rules still apply. In the main, I think it's best to try and prevent any poor behaviours in the first place, so it might be worth releasing a pre-party statement reminding everyone everyone that, of course, it's an opportunity to have a great time and enjoy themselves, but reminding everyone of the expectations relating to behaviour and the consequences should this get out of hand. It might also be worth including in the statement about the consequences of drinking and driving. There's a responsibility on the employer to ensure everyone gets home safely, so whilst they don't need to pay the cost, the company could arrange transport or make sure lifts are organised.
Very well put. Thank you very much, Kim Dalton. That's from Ward Williams HR. This is definitely information that will be very, very useful before the Christmas period begins. So thank you.
Thank you.
Biz Surrey and Hampshire, brought to you by Eagle Radio.